Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
You know what happens when people leave us?
They go on to bigger and better things.
Yes. We have found out that we have held numerous people back.
Yes, that's what we do. We hold people back.
They're here, and then they leave, and they go on to have great success. Adam Amin's a great example of that.
Like, we basically kidnap their careers for a short period of time. And then they get released, and then they go on to beautiful things.
Yes. We're going to get to Wayne Randazzo, who way back in the day when we were upstairs, I don't know if this was before we were even downstairs here in the State Street Studios, he used to do SportsCenter updates here. Now he's a longtime Major League Baseball play-by-play guy. First for the Mets, now for the Angels. He's in year two of doing television for the Angels. I want to play you a rant that went viral over, I think, last weekend is when I saw this. This is Bally Sports LA, and this is like a little bit of everything. And what I love about this is he's working for a Major League Baseball team, and he's not hiding things.
Sprays to all field in this.
Right. And all like fields. Like a lot of like play-by-play guys would be like, look, I don't want to go scorched earth on baseball because I'm a baseball announcer. But like, he's being critical because it's hurting the sport.
Yes.
And he wasn't shy about it. So the player that he's talking about here is Nolan Chenault. And that's one of the players. He'll also talk about Ohtani in here as well. But Chenault is a young player who had a consecutive on-base streak that was taken away by a scoring decision that baseball had, like, retroactively, that was so stupid. And Wayne had a great rant about it and other things, too, about how baseball doesn't market the sport correctly. Take a listen to this, and then we'll talk to Wayne.
Negative story after negative story, scandal after scandal, a fiasco in Oakland. You have these ridiculous-looking jerseys. You have the MLBPA challenging the league about the pitch clock today because of constant pitcher injuries. And yet, not to mention your global superstar is embroiled in a betting scandal. But on top of all of that, you have a young player trying to make a name for himself who has come up and reached base safely in every single game that he has played. And the league allows this scoring change to go on to end his streak, kill this story, a positive story that's happening in Major League Baseball. It is an absurdity.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about all the positivity from all over the social media world, how it impressed everybody to start your career. He was this in college last year. He was still playing college baseball at this point. And then to have that taken away on a base hit. It was a base hit.
It was a clear hit. It wasn't even really a borderline call. It was a clear base hit.
Yeah, like I said in the pregame show, the NBA doesn't take an assist away from LeBron James. He's got a triple-double, and he's trying to add on that record. It just doesn't happen.
Good stuff right there from this last week. And I sent that to you guys. I'm like, this is Wayne. This is a guy who used to be over here at ESPN 1000, and he's gone on to much greener pastures doing a play-by-play, first of the Mets and now of the Angels. And he's doing the Cubs game tonight against the Mariners, and this is a streaming game. This is the way the world is going now. So tonight's Cubs game, for all you Cubs fans, is on Apple TV, and the person you're going to hear doing the play-by-play is the guy that we're going to talk to right now, is our old friend Wayne Randazzo, who joins us right now on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Wayne, how have you been?
I've been good. You know, my first foray into broadcasting was interning for Cap and Waddle in the spring of 2005, so that was quite an education right away, right out of the gate from those two guys.
You've come a long way, baby, as they say, Wayno. I'm telling you.
Wayne, what was the first lesson that you learned from either Waddle or Cap?
that's arable.
Yes, being on time is
optional. Yeah, being on time, because I had to yell to David Kaplan when there was a commercial so he would go sprint into the studio so he could do his own sports update. So timeliness and relying on whoever you need to do that is very important.
That is great.
So true.
So when you before we get into the Cubs, when you go on a rant like that, is there any worry about repercussions or a call from the commissioner? And did you hear anything about that from any higher ups?
No, I think, first of all, the Angels were supportive in the sense that they wanted a message out that they were upset about this call going against their player who was approaching a record streak. He was only about 10 games away from the all-time record to start his Major League career, and it was something the Angels were promoting and getting heavily into as he was getting closer and closer, and it, I think it's taken away 6 days after the fact. In this scoring change. So the Angels were supportive first and foremost. And then, you know, as far as the league, there was no attack on the commissioner. There was no attack on any individual person. It was really just as an entity, Major League Baseball has some issues that they need to iron out. And flattening positive stories when there are so many negative ones going on right now, I think is a tough look for the league because they need as much positivity around it as possible. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a baseball fan. I love baseball. That's what I've loved my whole life. And it's an honor for me to be able to have a microphone for a Major League Baseball team. And in this case tonight, working on a national platform. I mean, it's what I wanted to do my whole life. So it's coming from a place of love and not hate and something that I would love to see the sport be at its finest at all times.
What would you change? Like, if you had a magic wand, Wayne, what would you change first? If you could get one change I'm giving you, what's the first thing you would change in baseball?
I think what you would really want to see is 30 ownership groups really making sure that they're trying to field the best team possible. And when you have, whether it's one or two or three or more, ownership groups that are just flat out not even trying, I think that is the biggest denigration to the sport that there is. I mean, you have 30 teams. That's it. You represent, you know, 25, 26 markets, whatever it is. And these are the teams that are carrying the tradition of this sport going back now close to 150 years. So it is a tremendous privilege to have these teams and to be able to field Major League Baseball players in these stadiums and try to do your best. And when some of those teams aren't even bothering to sign free agents or put their best foot forward in terms of what's on the field and developing players, it hurts the sport. So that would be the number one thing that I would try to make sure would happen is that all 30 teams are giving an attempt to try to win.
And Wayne, how would you go about trying to inspire them to do that? Would it be as simple as putting in a minimum that each franchise has to spend in a Major League Baseball payroll?
Yeah, well, I think that's where you get into the negotiations with labor and between the union and the league is that if they any discussion about a salary floor has also included a salary cap, which the players don't want. So it would have to be league imposed. But when the commissioners of all these leagues, not just baseball, are really employees of the owners, you don't have that kind of strong arm tactics toward the owners from the commissioners, not in any of the sports. But yeah, that would be the first place to start is to say these teams have to spend X number of dollars at minimum to show that they're show their fans and show the other teams around the league that they're serious about even trying to win.
Wayne Randazzo is from here. He grew up in St. Charles. And obviously he worked here before and he is now the voice of the Angels and he's doing tonight's Cubs game on Apple. Before we go there, Wayne, what was it like the year that you were doing the Angels with Ohtani and what do you think about the current situation going on right now?
Well, I mean, at face value, you feel horrible for Shohei. If everything that appears to be what it is actually the truth, and Ipe was doing this behind Shohei's back the whole time and impersonating him and stealing his money right out from underneath him. It's a horrendous betrayal. I mean, almost a brotherly betrayal when you think about how close these two guys were. Even back to Shohei's days playing in Japan, you know, Ipe was the English-speaking interpreter for Shohei's Japanese team. That's how they met. And Shohei brought him over to the U.S. to be the Japanese-speaking interpreter for him with the Angels. And you know, aside from being just an interpreter, he was Shohei's right-hand man and everything in life, which allowed him the access to do a lot of the things that are being reported and alleged that he was doing. So it's if everything is how it seems, then this is just an incredible act of betrayal towards Shohei, and you feel terrible that he trusted this person fully and spent just about every single day with him in season and off season. And now Shohei has to face not only these stories and this scandal, but also the betrayal of his best friend. It's crazy. And, you know, in terms of being there last year and watching Shohei play, I'm sure I'll never see anything like it again, especially on the days that he pitched. Just the aura of Shohei Ohtani as a two-way player and the elite level that he played both of those positions, it was extraordinary, and, you know, it's something I'll never forget.
Wayne, can you kind of, like, elaborate on just how important Shohei is to Major League Baseball?
Well, you know, for a sport that really wants to be mainstream and globalized and being the kind of sport that I think we all kind of grew up with it having been around just as our national pastime, you need superstars and you need guys that are able to kind of break through in a way that very few baseball players try to do. I mean, the Angels have one. They have another one. They have Mike Trout, who is as great of a baseball player as there has ever been. He is an all-time great. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. But he doesn't get the endorsement deals that Shohei does. He doesn't get the breathlessness from the fans, the kind of Michael Jordan-esque chasing around that Shohei got. And I think baseball needs to lean into a guy that gets all that organically. I mean, this is just Shohei fever. Whatever comes with Shohei is this. And it's something that is unique to baseball in this day and age, despite there being several other good players, great players around the league. So I think that baseball has to capitalize off of Shohei because there's no one else like him, not just in terms of what he can do on the field, but what he presents off the field. There's almost like a European soccer superstar or a LeBron-like superstar, something that baseball does not have a lot of.
Wayne, what do you think of our Cubs?
Well, it's a wide-open division. You know, I think maybe more so than people realize that you could really make the case for all five teams in the National League Central. People figured Milwaukee would take a step back after losing their manager and their best pitcher. Maybe they still will, but they certainly seem competitive so far. You know, maybe this is the year the Pirates leap forward. Maybe it's the year the Reds do. I mean, the Cubs are kind of steady right now in terms of how they looked from last season to this season. They hope Craig Counsell can turn some more late game decisions into victories, and maybe they get over that hump. But as far as being a clear favorite in the National League Central, I don't think there is one. I think the Cubs' biggest struggle is how are they getting 27 outs every day, especially right, with Justin Steele on the IL. If they can solve that riddle, then that'll help them go a lot further.
All right, so tonight you've got the call on Apple TV, correct?
Yes.
So we can't wait to watch. We appreciate you, and congrats on all the success.
Amen to that.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Wayne. There's Wayne Randazzo, who's got the call again, Apple TV, and he is also the voice of the Angels.
He touched all the appropriate bases with his presentation as well. Like, everything that he said was spot on. In his rant.
As far as the
rant.
Oh, the
was
rant.
All spot on.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah.
And then the shot on the uniforms, too.
Yes, all of it. That's what I mean. All of it resonated.
There was a player who was signing, I forget where I saw it. It was on, I think, maybe Instagram. A player, do you guys remember this? Recently, within the last week, who was signing a uniform of his from this year and last year. And he got weepy. Not literally, but as he looked at the uniform from last year and the lettering and how good it was compared to this year.
It looks horrible.
It really is. It's like a knockoff uniform.
Yeah.
It's like players are wearing the knockoff uniform.
Have the Cubs put the patch on yet?
No.
Why?
I don't know what they're waiting for. It's craziness.
Like, you're foregoing an opportunity to put cash in your register.
To make money, yeah. I don't know.
I think they're still holding out for the premium number that they want.
I'm sure, yeah.
You know, they don't want to settle for less than what they're looking for.
Sign a one-year deal.
Right.
Have it revolve.
Yeah.
I don't care. I like...
Speaking of one-year deals, did you see Jordan Montgomery?
I was thinking the same thing.
Scott Boras.
Yeah, that was going to be a story in Waddle's World
he
coming
fired
up.
Him,
he
right?
fired him, yeah. Fired him. Fired. You're fired.
Yeah, there was always the thing that Boras could say. Boras could always say, look.
I'm going to get you the most money.
Like, this is why all the guys hire me. I get them what they want. Say what you want about me, but I get my guys the money. And this is the first year, really, that he has not delivered for them.
And I think you could look at it.
Have the owners colluded?
I don't think they've colluded, but he kind of went 0-for-4 with his four big free agents.
That's what I mean.
And it never happens. He always, in the end, delivers something.
That's why I'm asking. You know, listen, I know it sounds like a very, you know, I'm thinking of that there is something nefarious going on. But
I don't think they necessarily colluded, but he always had the playbook that he would drag his feet and wait till the very end. He was willing to tell his clients, wait till spring training, injuries will mount, and somebody will come in and give you a bigger offer. But Blake Snell, Matt Chapman, Jordan Montgomery, who was the fourth?
Bellinger.
And Bellinger, yeah. And all four of them took lower than, you know, expected deals. And
shorter deals, yeah.
No one got more than a year guaranteed, right?
Yeah, they all
went for the opt-out play because at that point, that was the only way for Boras to salvage and say, listen, we'll go back into the market next year.
Let's take some of these calls. Weston's in Milwaukee. He called early in the show, but it was on hoops. Weston, what's on your mind?
Hey, gentlemen, happy weekend to you. You're talking Bulls earlier, and I'm going to veer off course of the rest of the show here, but I was wondering how much you think that AK actually has decision-making power in Chicago. And the reason I kind of bring this up is we here in Milwaukee had an owner in Herb Cole for years who was very happy to be the eighth seed every year when that was the actual last spot in the playoffs. And he wanted to make those playoffs every year, get that couple extra games of revenue. He notoriously vetoed trades back in the early 2000s for Zach Randolph, Mike Conley, Sean Marion, Carlos Boozer before he came to the Bulls. And I'm wondering how much you actually think that your general manager actually has the power to do the job that he actually wants to do.
It's a great question. Weston, it's a fantastic question about going in the luxury tax. Like, you know, I always bellyached at the start of the rebuild how they didn't take a draft pick at number 37 in the second round. And a lot of people used to bust my balls and go, Jordan Bell, you really needed Jordan Bell. And to me, it was symbolic about they had a roster full of nobody. And to me, it was just about drafting a player, an athlete, to see if you can develop them, much like the Bulls drafted Io this a couple years ago. And, like, I found out through the years that it wasn't a PAX decision. It was an ownership decision. They wanted the money in their back pocket.
We asked the same question about whether or not Rick Hahn was making these decisions, or Kenny Williams, or that he had no capacity to do some of the things he wanted to do.
Right. Well, and then we found out. I really think Tony La Russa broke. The Tony La Russa move broke Rick Hahn.
Yeah.
That was when Rick Hahn went spoiled.
Yeah.
Can I say, as a Bucks fan, I want your players. Your players are perfect for a championship team like we have up in Milwaukee.
Role guys, because you have Giannis. We don't. Yes. Like, the Bulls don't have a. They don't have 100%. A one. Right. Like you've
you can
got
have
the
all
one.
Our take our second round picks. Take our future first round picks.
No, who do you want? Them. Yeah, Weston. Who you want? We'll put them together in a package, and you send us Giannis in return, and then you get what you want.
I'll be honest. I mean, our general manager has definitely mortgaged our future to try and win more championships, but he's given up almost every pick we can possibly give away. But you have so many great role players that championship teams want that, and so many of the stars of this league are middle of the road first round picks or second round picks that it's shocking to me that they haven't been traded because from first to 60th now in the NBA draft is a crapshoot. That it makes me wonder how much your owner wants to just get that playoff revenue and doesn't care about moving on from these guys who might make them tank.
Bingo.
Look, it's no coincidence. It's the phrase that I've used for the Bears and the Bulls that it starts at the top, and when you take away Michael Jordan, who they inherited, that. Jerry's won one championship between the two teams. when you take away Michael in 80 years of ownership between the two teams.
It was the White Sox.
And right, and it was that 1 year in 06 and other than in 05, and other than the 05 year, the White Sox had never won another postseason series. Think about that.
It's crazy.
Other than Michael Jordan, they had the one pop-up year. And then other than that pop-up year, they've never won another series. And that's no coincidence.
Were people clamoring for guys on this Bulls roster other than Caruso?
I don't know if they, like, I think guys, people would have taken them. It's just what the Bulls wanted for them. I think people wanted DeRozan. But did they want to? Do they want to re-sign DeRozan? Did they just want DeRozan for cheap?
Like, why would you re-sign DeMar DeRozan? And it sounds disrespectful as the question because he's had a fabulous career.
Yeah.
But what are you?
What are you doing?
He's going to be 34 next year.
What lane are you? What road are you going down?
Right.
I think the better question is why would DeRozan want here?
I know, and I was reading an article. He wants to be here.
He does. He says so. I mean, unless he's just being. Unless he's just being kind and nice, and maybe he thinks he could get the most money here. I don't know what he's thinking.
I don't know.
The real malpractice of the trade deadline was the fact that Andre Drummond's still on the roster.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
I wonder if, you know, sometimes if you're DeMar DeRozan, you've hit this stage of his career.
You're just comfortable.
What other team in the league is he going to be, you know, the featured scorer? I mean, like, listen, some guys, they're like, you know what, give me, you know, the max money that I can receive. And I can go ahead and score my 25 points and maybe be happy to make his case for, you know, the Hall of Fame. I think that's
And you know what? Also, maybe he's happy in Chicago and he's at a stage in his career and he's content. And like,
boy, wouldn't DeMar DeRozan, though, be a really good extra scorer on a team that could use more scoring punch in the playoffs? Couldn't he put a team over the top that needs another fourth quarter scorer?
Are you looking for guys, though, that are much better at shooting the three than that? I mean,
well, he just, what does he do in the fourth quarter? He scores. It doesn't matter if it's from three or wherever. He's one of the more, like, I know you don't like the clutch stat, but he is as clutch as they come.
Well, he's also getting the majority of the shots in the fourth quarter as well. That's where you go to. Of course.
So if you are on a team that's already good and have a primetime player, if you can get DeMar DeRozan and take some. Whether it's also now you have to worry about DeRozan. Now all of a sudden your scorer can maybe get some better looks, and now they have to worry about DeRozan, or DeRozan can take some scoring pressure. Like Philly would have been a good team for him. The Knicks could have been a good team for him. One of those West Coast teams. I think I still think he could have some good playoff years as not the number one.
Of course.
But like as a three.
Right.
That's why
I just wonder how valuable somebody is who isn't a 3-point threat.
Oh, I still think you could put like those baskets in the playoff are still important down the stretch. Like how many threes is Jimmy hitting down the stretch of games in playoff series?
Well, that's true.
I do think, like, a team like the Sixers, you know, Embiid comes back in the playoffs.
Yes.
It would have been a nice match.
I never understood that. I just didn't know why DeRozan wasn't more sought after. Because, again, like,
Maybe they weren't willing to move him.
Yeah,
maybe
the Bulls.
They asked, sure, and the Bulls said no.
Yeah, and they just wanted so much for every guy. If they wanted too much for, like Tyler said, if they wanted too much for their backup center, how much did they want for DeRozan?
Bulls were like, Philly, we're going to beat Philly in the playoffs. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Remember, that was the whole conversation around Zach? The price was just way too high for everyone, and everyone just kind of backed out.
All right, Waddle's World coming up. We'll talk to Jesse at 5.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird. Get weird. 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 Weird.
Let's get weird.
Why not? Let's get weird. Today's been a really weird weather day. It's vacillated from really nice and sunny and encouraging and good times to depressing and rainy and cloudy right now, and probably a little colder than I would like it to be. I'm not happy right now.
The weekend's supposed to be good, yes?
It's supposed to be 80 degrees on Sunday.
Good.
Hey, before I tell you about Gladiator 2, which I believe there are some trailers out on it. I don't think it's going to be available for quite some time, but they're showing a little bit of stuff, and I'm beyond titillated by the thought of watching Gladiator 2. Let's send it in to Tyler for an update on the what's happening at the Masters.
Not a lot of low scores today, boys. Bryson DeChambeau and Scottie Scheffler, your co-leaders at 7-under. DeChambeau is on 18 right now. Scheffler still has the second 9 to go.
I was telling Tyler that Bryson DeChambeau hit a 372-yard drive on 17.
He also had to pull a sign out of the ground. Like, basically, like, uproot a tree, effectively, so he could take his next shot because it was in the way. Max Homa is 6-under. He's one stroke back of the lead. Nikolai Højgaard is 4-under. He's in fourth. Cam Davis.
You wouldn't know who Nikolai Højgaard was if he was standing next to somebody.
Was he on the European Ryder Cup
guy's
team?
Nikolai.
He was, I believe.
One of the young up-and-coming guys.
He's got an identical twin, too, who's an accomplished golfer on the European Tour. You knew that, too, didn't you?
No, but I do know that...
I know where you're going here, Sylvie.
Yeah, the brother of Matt.
He is currently in seventh place, by the way, Matt Fitzpatrick.
Right, Matt Fitzpatrick has a brother who's up and coming.
Yeah.
Ryan. He plays a quarterback.
He's got a beard.
Yeah.
Cam Davis, Colin Morikawa are each three back. Ludvig Åberg and Matt Fitzpatrick, who I just mentioned, also two back. Tiger Woods has made his 24th consecutive cut as well. That projected cut line, by the way, is at +4 right now.
I get all my golf knowledge strictly from the Netflix series Full Swing.
Also, by the way,
get back to that.
Phil Mickelson. Slated to make the cut right now. He is currently 2-over.
Super skinny Phil.
I was just, am I the only one who prefers
a little more
a few extra
meat
pounds
on the bones? Yeah.
And someone who's much more willing to gamble. I don't like this clean cut life.
Oh, I think he's willing to gamble. I just don't think he's, weighs as much as he used to.
Two men I like with a little more meat on their bone. Oh, that sounded weird. It's Phil Mickelson and Jonah Hill.
Yes, agreed.
They're both
there.
Skinny.
Jonah Hill, way too serious as a skinny guy.
Yes, I need them a little more plump.
You like people to be unhealthy.
Not unhealthy, just a little more plump.
That's unhealthy.
Jovial.
By the way,
full of life.
Tyler, wouldn't you say that, like, there are polar opposites? Take Scheffler out of the top.
Mm-hmm.
But between DeChambeau and Homa, like... One guy couldn't be more well-liked and one guy couldn't be less well-liked. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would say so. Like, DeChambeau is kind of a villain, and then Max Homa might be
the guy's most liked. He's a dude.
Yeah.
Is DeChambeau, like, is he more, is that more of a story than it really is? Like, do some guys like him more than...
I think it may have lessened a little bit. And it might just be that they don't have to deal with him as much anymore because he's on live.
His douche level has gone down.
DeChambeau, yeah.
DeChambeau.
Do him and Brooks now get along better because they're both on Liv?
I think it is better. And just because, like, everything about Liv is much less stress.
It's
more
happy
money
when
to
you
work
make
less.
$500 million.
And you're playing around less.
You play 54 holes. You can wear shorts.
Less pressure. You don't really have to win because your bank account is full.
And you're on a team, by the way.
Yes.
So your team can win and you don't have to play your best.
Money.
You get money out of that. Yeah. So... You got porta potties on every hole, all that stuff.
Oh, they do have porta potties on every hole?
Yep. That was one of the big things that John Rahm wanted.
Why?
He didn't want razors, that's for sure.
Yeah, he had the Wolfman look yesterday when we saw him in Butler Cabin being interviewed. He had the cheek beard.
From the neck all the way to the cheeks.
Yeah.
By the way, John Rahm, your defending champion, is in danger of missing the cut.
Yeah, what happened to him? Because you give
right
him
on the cut line right
give
now.
Give him $600 million and he stops practicing
he's clearly grown accustomed to that porta potty life. You know, you take him away,
maybe that
game goes to hell.
That cheek beard getting in the way of his swing.
That's hell of a demand, right? I'll come to your tour.
I need a porta potty.
I want not only a porta potty, on every hole.
Why would that be?
It's going to call.
Why would that be a request? Does he have irritable bowel?
He might.
Well, you just never know which hole you're going to need it. So if they're on just every hole.
Yeah. And especially live where it's a shotgun start, too. You don't know what hole you're going to be
on. Listen, I don't think there's any problem accommodating that request. I don't even think it's a big request. I just thought it was interesting.
For you who plays, I was thinking of you yesterday.
I just poop in the woods.
No, well...
Just carry a few. No. I'm not wiping my ass with leaves, bro.
No, you know.
It's not. That's why you bring toilet paper with you if you have issues.
You have a roll in your bag?
Of course.
I think you don't wipe at all, though. Well, if you go in the woods, you don't use leaves.
No. I said I got toilet paper
in the
bag.
Use the bidet.
Oh.
The bag.
No, but if you don't have anything, do you? I would not choose to go.
You know what I would probably
leaves.
Do? I'd probably use my own underwear and throw it away.
Oh, you would?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be soft, man. You can't put a bunch of leaves in that.
No, you can't
compromise
use leaves.
Situation.
I was thinking about you.
Excuse me?
I was thinking about you. As you get on to the Kennedy these days, it takes forever, first of all, because there's no express lanes open. So the Ontario feeder ramp is a 30-minute process.
Mm-hmm.
From the start of the feeder ramp all the way to the bottom, it's a process, and then you merge. As you get down closer to the highway,
yeah,
there's a porta potty there.
I saw that.
Oh, did you see that too?
Of course.
I thought of you.
I have a sensor for like.
Oh, so you noticed it?
I know where every porta potty is in every.
And there's a little dirt road, so if you need it on the way home, you can pull off the side.
Yeah, do you know how?
And I noticed there's no lock on it.
There's not, of course.
So if you needed to go,
yes,
you can use that.
You don't think I know that? I'm like the equalizer. When Denzel looks, he sits there, and before hell's about to be delivered, you see that from his perspective,
note.
Everything is everywhere. There's a porta potty. There's one out here, and they're doing street work out there. There's one there.
I wouldn't use that one.
Listen, if you had to, you had to. There was one guy. There was a time last year when some guy was sleeping in there.
Oh, yeah, one. Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. That's why I wouldn't use it. And it was full of just stuff.
Well, something tells me the one that's right there on the feeder ramp is one you want to get in. Yeah, that's probably got some raccoons in it or something living in that. I would think. We had this conversation upstairs. I don't know how in-depth we would like to get into it, but here was a story. Kourtney Kardashian admits she pounded a glass of breast milk when she was feeling sick. The reality star posted on Instagram an Instagram story selfie after pounding a glass of breast milk because she wasn't feeling great. I don't know whether or not it was something that made her feel any better, but she just thought that was going to make her feel better because I don't get it. I don't know why that would have been the case. I mean, whatever you would consume to make you feel better is already in your body. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not a doctor. I'm a few credits shy. But if you're not feeling well, okay? If you're doing this because you feel
right.
like the nutrients
so
and all of the
was this maybe taken out, pumped,
or maybe,
before she was sick?
Or maybe
when
it's
she was
just
healthy.
A great Instagram story selfie.
That's true. It gets people talking. I don't know. Like, I brought this up, too, and I know I've shared this before. There was one... When Mason was born, there was one day where we were out of milk because as we were new parents, we didn't go to the grocery store. And so I used some of my wife's breast milk in my coffee.
How
that
did it
day.
Taste?
It was fine. It was maybe a little sweeter, but I couldn't tell much of a difference. And it was met with some disgust. And Danny's like, oh, no, I would never try my wife's breast milk.
Why?
So that's
why did Danny say that?
That's what I mean. Like, so... We would drink cow's milk.
Right.
Milk from a cow.
Right.
We would drink milk from a goat.
Yeah, goat milk.
Goat. But yet you wouldn't drink milk from your wife? It seems odd to me.
It does. Mellor, I know. I can't even. I'm not even looking at you. I know you got a wise ass response in
I
there.
I do not.
I do not.
No, I mean, listen.
Give me the goat over there and let me get some milk from that thing.
It wouldn't be my first choice as a creamer if I ran low, but
What would be your first choice for a creamer if you were running low?
Yes, if we didn't have any cream in the house.
I go to the vanilla ice cream, to be honest with you. That would be my first choice.
What if there was no vanilla ice cream in the house?
Then maybe my second choice would be breast milk if my wife... Yeah.
Look, I'm not suggesting...
Listen, it's a fetish. Some people pay big money for that.
Really?
So.
Yeah, it wasn't a fetish of mine, but I... Why would it be a fetish?
Some people are into that.
My kid is getting nourished by it. Why am I getting disgusted by it?
What was Danny's explanation for why it wasn't a good option?
I don't know.
Was there some sort of medical or nutritional issue with it?
I think that's most people's response is to be disgusted by it. But I don't know if they can really diagram why they're disgusted by it.
Here's a question for you. Dirty pool or good marketing? Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Smells like McDonald's. Fast food chain debuts the world's first scented billboard.
Oh, it's a billboard that's so like when you pass by it?
Billboards strategically placed within 200 meters of McDonald's restaurants.
That's pretty good. So then you would want to pull it.
Do you think it's dirty pool?
No.
Or you think that's good marketing?
Good marketing.
According to a press release, the Chicago-based burger chain debuted a series of seemingly plain yellow and red billboards in the Netherlands that contain the distinct aroma of McDonald's French fries.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the best smells there is.
When have you ever heard McDonald's referred to as the Chicago-based burger chain? I know it's true, but
And this is a story from San Francisco. It wasn't even a foreign article. That's where it was originated there,
San
young
Bernardino.
So,
the Founder's a great movie.
Do you think it's...
Yes, it is good.
Do you think it's a good move or a dirty pool?
It's fair play.
Fair play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why would it be dirty?
I don't know. I mean, you know what? We have a health issue, and now you're just enticing people with smells. And
what is... What, I think someone
it's
was...
It's in the Netherlands, though.
Someone was just doing this topic.
They're bringing it here.
Someone was just doing this topic recently. What is one of the greatest smells there is?
Oh, McDonald's French fries.
Breast milk.
Very good note. Like, what is one of your favorite smells?
Breast milk in my coffee in the morning.
Stop it. No.
Smell. What is good smells? Smells.
Cookies. Chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
That's
a
good one.
I think McDonald's French fries is in the top 10.
It's up there. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that.
I forgot. I think did Cap and Hoodie do this recently? Like that grilled onion smell in the morning, or Cap and maybe it was Black and Abdallah did this?
I would say the smell of bacon cooking in the morning.
Oh, so good.
Oh.
It is, but do you guys have this? If I'm cooking bacon in the morning, especially on the weekends, and then I feel like my clothes smell like bacon the rest of the day.
Smell like food.
Which is such a gift. That is a gift. Not only do you get to eat the bacon, you get to smell yourself all day long.
What
bacon
about the coffee? Coffee brewing in the morning.
Yes. Yes. And then a little squirt of breast milk.
Boy, you've latched on, haven't you, Meller?
Literally. Very good.
Thank you. Okay, when we come back, a little something we call Florida or Ohio.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
That's right. Florida or Ohio is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. First time this week for Florida or Ohio?
I believe so,
indeed.
Yeah. Yes.
Man impersonating a T-Mobile worker climbs down after disconnecting objects from a cell tower.
Oh, this is like Cable Guy.
A man posing as a T-Mobile worker is back on solid ground after he tore clamps off of a cell tower, police said. There were reports of a man that came in on Wednesday morning. According to police, the cell phone company called authorities when they found out a man was impersonating an employee. Around 11 a.m., the man was brought down and interviewed by the police. He apologized, and the negotiating team is talking to him right now, according to one of the police officers.
Was he in a cell tower dismantling things? Is that what you said?
Yeah, he was just unplugging stuff. He's like Geo back here.
Yeah, it's Geo. That sounds totally like an Ohio crime.
Detectives.
It does.
Identified the man as 38-year-old Richard Smith.
Dick Smith. I know him.
Who shut off the cell tower, causing an alarm to go off.
Why would you do that?
I don't think that's safe either, is it? Not just the heights and the fall to your death.
Oh, yeah.
But with all of the radiation or whatever is coming off of that thing.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Yes,
all
for sure.
All the technical terms I'm using.
I don't know if it's radiation, but stuff.
Yeah.
Also, the boxes emanating up there are apparently very hot. That, like, you have to go in very and
hot, it's a hot box.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's a hot box in Miami, Florida.
Really?
Yeah.
There are so many more things you can do to be mischievous and naughty and have fun than climbing a cell tower.
True.
There's nothing going on in the outskirts of...
It does sound like...
Chillicothe, Ohio.
Yes, it does sound like an Ohio crime.
What are we going to do today? You know what we're going to do? We're going to climb up the tower. We're going to unplug some stuff.
I've made the mistake too often on a Friday where it sounds like something from Ohio and I go with you and then we're... 2 for 2 on Ohio, and then Meller goes with Florida, and he ends up winning
because he can see Tyler's screen.
No, he just goes with the math.
I'm gonna go with Chillicothe, Ohio, because there's nothing better to do other than go to jail there. They got a jail there. Not a good jail either. Not that there is a good jail, but this one is definitely not good.
Speaking of jails, that's what I've got for what to watch for today. Another jail show.
I'm going to roll with Kissimmee, Florida.
Ooh, good one.
It took place, Sylvie, closest to the pin and in the hole, Miami, Florida.
Yeah. Wow. In Miami. Really? Yeah. Boy, that is like, you got so much to do. Go to the beach.
I know.
Go to the Fountain Blue Hotel. Go to the racetrack. Go do some. Why are you climbing a cell tower?
Florida crazy.
That's, wow. Okay.
Not often that you get. Right there.
And no booger sugar to be found.
Well, he may have
there
been.
There was no reference to drugs. None.
On him.
Good work, fellas. That was good detective work by the two of you.
Yeah, I don't know how. It was just a random guess.
Most crimes are solved. Mm-hmm. Random guesses.
All right, coming up next, Jesse Rogers. What are the Cubs going to do with Kyle Hendricks? What are the Cubs going to do about their bullpen? What are the White Sox going to do in general? So many questions. Jesse's got the answers. He'll join us coming up next.